chapter number 11, just to get our minds right about tonight. And we look forward to this night. I do. And I enjoy when we partake of the Lord's Supper. I feel like that I've done it over and over again here lately. And so we were in Israel, and when we were at the Garden Tomb, we took communion while we were at the Garden Tomb. And I was talking to Kirk. If y'all went to Israel, y'all know my buddy Kirk. I was talking to him. I said, man, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. He said, man, y'all already did it last week or a couple of weeks ago. I said, man, not everybody in the church was there with us. But anyhow, I feel like that. And then this past Sunday, of course, we had the Lord's table up here and the Lord's Supper. You know, we were doing the drama around that. So I feel like we've been doing the Lord's Supper now for about a month, all right? But anyhow, and there's a lot of things that I go over in that. But just to get our minds right, I want to take us to, I'm going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 because this is Paul addressing a church there in Corinth. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of reading here other than to say this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul is addressing a problem that has taken place in the church concerning their observance of the Lord's Supper. And so when Paul deals with them, he says in verse number 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. In other words, you're doing some things that you shouldn't be doing. And he says that you're coming together not for the better, but for the worst, okay? And he says this, he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now listen to what he says. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. All right. And he goes on, he talks about, we'll get back to that, and we'll get back to this in a moment. But at the end of this, he tells us that the church, and writes to them and says that they needed to be very careful. Matter of fact, he says it like this, but let a man, verse number 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So Paul was instructing them that you have taken this thing and you've made a mockery out of it. And we need to be careful with that. I've always said this ever since I've been here. When you do something, everybody asks me, why don't we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Because when you get so familiar with something, it loses something. Now, let me give you an example of that. How many of you remember the story in the Bible of Uzzah? Not many, many of you, all right? So if you remember the story in the Bible of Uzzah, that's three of y'all in here tonight, all right? The rest of you need to read your Bible. But Uzzah was the ark. When the ark came back from the Philistines, it ended up at Uzzah's house, all right? And Uzzah, he lived with the ark. Brother Johnny, he seen the ark every morning, got up, he was around the ark all the time. He had much reverence for the ark because he lived with the ark. Can I get a witness? I mean, the ark was important. You go back in the Old Testament, it was very important. It was so important that when the ark was lost, it was declared that the glory of the Lord had departed, right? And so Uzzah had lived with this thing. He'd been around it his whole life. Well, David decides he's going to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He throws it on a new cart. And as they're going back, the oxen stumble. And Uzzah reaches up and puts his hand on the ark to steady the ark. And God killed him. Here was somebody that had reverence for the Lord, no doubt. He'd lived with this ark for years and years, probably 20 years. He had lived with this ark in his house and had never transgressed the law against God, but he had gotten so familiar with it. And so we have to be careful that we don't get too familiar with it and that it loses its reverence with us. And that's what was going on with this church. So I just want that to be a warning before we go over to Luke chapter number 22. Now, turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter number 22, if you will, and let's take a look at this. We already talked about this Sunday as we looked at it Sunday. We talked about the Passover, but we did it from John chapter number 13, if you'll remember. And we're not going to visit that again, per se, as in going over to John chapter number 13 and reading, but we are going to look at it as we go through the message tonight, all right? So the Bible tells us that in verse number 7 of Luke chapter number 22, is everybody there? All right, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.'" So y'all remember the two disciples that came in? That was Peter and John, all right? Now the Bible says in verse number 9, "And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, or there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to go. It says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Now, I'll explain why I read that verse here in a little bit. But I want you to look at this, and I want you to understand, I preached a lot of this Sunday, and I feel like I'm preaching a lot of the same thing again. But I want you to see, first off, that this last night, this last supper, if you will, this was Jesus' last supper, and he says this, "I have desire and have desired to have this last supper with you before I suffer." Now, that means something to me. I don't know if it means anything to you, but the last thing that he wanted to do was to have fellowship with his disciples. I need everybody to hear me right now. We don't put a premium on fellowship at all anymore in churches. Amen. Y'all help me. We don't put a premium on it at all. Most people don't come to church anymore. All right? And if they do, it's very rare. And so we don't put a premium on this at all. But yet Jesus, on his last night, before he suffered, the last thing that he wanted to do was to have fellowship with his disciples. And so as we look at his last supper this tonight, I want you to notice just a couple of things. First off, I want you to notice that it's a time of intimacy. His last supper was a time of intimacy. We see the participants of the last supper. We see the 12. The Bible says that him and the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, they came in for this supper. That means Judas was in that crowd. Is everybody all right? It means Judas was in that crowd with them. It means that Simon Peter was in that crowd. You know all the disciples, but you know all their faults as well. And so as we look at this, I want you to notice, first off, it was a time of intimacy. It wasn't a time for us to play games. It wasn't a time for us to get drunk and have a good time. It ain't a time for us to just go flippantly into things. It was a very intimate time with their rabbi, their master, which eventually, and we know as our Savior. It was a very intimate time. So when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we need to keep that in mind, that it's a very intimate time that we gather with God. The Bible says this, he told him to do this in remembrance of me. That means that my mind and your mind ought to be on him the entire time that this is being done. Not just be on him about, oh, his blessings here or his blessings there. He literally told us that this bread was his body. This juice was his blood. Is everybody with me? So as we look at this, we're to look at it intimately. It was a time of intimacy. We see the participants, and then, of course, I put down here, we see the passion. I see the passion. I hope you do. His last hours before he would hang on a cross, he wanted to spend with those he loved. He wanted to spend with those he loved in fellowship. I don't know what I would do if I knew I had 24 hours to live. I need somebody to help me. I probably wouldn't call for a church service. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to spend every dime I got. Hopefully, I ain't going to say hopefully my wife will go with me, but anyhow, she might not. She might be like, she might leave me and say, you're going to die broke, all right? But anyhow, a time of intimacy. He wanted to be in his last hours here on earth. He wanted to be with those he loved. He wanted to fellowship with them. So it was a time of intimacy. I'm reminded of the king that sent out for everybody to come to the supper. And I'm reminded, let me explain. I'm reminded of the king that sent out for everybody to come to the supper that celebrated the wedding of his son. And they wouldn't come. Everybody made excuses. And he told them to go out into the highways and the hedges and the byways and just go out there and bring in anybody that would come so that his house was filled. You remember I preached on that not too long ago. But anyhow, one came in and he did not have on the proper garments. Remember we went over that and I talked about that just a little bit. But he did not have the proper garments on, and he was spotted immediately. And in that, he was told, he said, how'd you come here? And the Bible says he was speechless. And so the king had him cast out because he didn't wear the proper attire. Of course, we knew that was the righteousness of Christ, right? The robe of righteousness. Everybody with me? I want you to understand something about the intimacy. A place of intimacy, it was with his disciples. It was with those that were saved. Is everybody with me? So as we partake of this tonight, I want you to understand it's a place of intimacy, but it's for those that are followers of Christ. It's for those that are disciples. So the question tonight is, are you a disciple of Christ? Are you saved? You say, preacher, I don't know whether or not I'm saved. Preacher, I can't give an honest answer as to whether or not I'm saved. Well, let me encourage you tonight. I'm going to give an opportunity for you to get saved. Amen. Before we do all of this, let me encourage you to take that opportunity. Jump on it. Take that opportunity and get it right tonight. Say, preacher, but I just don't know that I'm ready. You can't be any... I need somebody to help me right here. You ain't going to get any more ready. And we need to be careful. Because there is a chance that you'll not have another opportunity. Amen. And so it's a time of intimacy. Number two, it's a time of instruction. And of course, I went over this in John chapter number 13. And man, I just couldn't get away from it. Man, I thought it was good. I called up Malcolm and shared it with him, and he'd already preached it. It made me feel bad. But as we talked about this, a time of instruction. I believe Jesus was teaching his disciples some things. He gave them an understanding of forgiveness. An understanding of forgiveness. Say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, we go to John chapter number 13. He got up from the table and he washed their feet. And as I mentioned Sunday, one of the people that was sitting at that table was Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him. Matter of fact, I read in the Bible right here in Luke chapter number 22, the last verse I read, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Later he would say it was the one that dipped and ate of the sop after he ate, after he dipped the bread in sop, who ate it. This was Judas. This was the one that would betray him, the one that would turn him over to the authorities, that would take him and put him in that pit that many of us stood in while we were in Caiaphas's house on Mount Zion. The same one that would kiss him on the cheek as if he loved him when the whole time he was stabbing him in the back. Somebody help me. Have you been there? You ever had somebody tell you they love you while they was putting a knife in your back? You ever had somebody act as though they were your friend when all of everything that they were doing was saying otherwise? And yet Jesus showed forgiveness. You know, if I was to ask you, what's one of the greatest attributes of Jesus? All of you'd say love. But the truth is, it's forgiveness. He forgives because he loves. God is love. It is an attribute. But you and I all, we all know him by not only his love, but by forgiveness. I think of Jesus when he hung on the cross and he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We might need some music right here, because I can already tell on the faces of a lot of y'all, y'all need Jesus right now. Because there's people in your life who's done things to you. There's people in your life that have treated you badly, and you're still dwelling on it. You're still trying to justify your anger towards this individual. You're still trying to justify why you have a right to hold something against them. When Jesus hung on a cross and says, "I'll not hold anything against you." Come on, y'all, help me. I know it's tough preaching. I know it's hard to hear. But I can preach it. You know, Brother Jackson, I can preach this every single Sunday. And the sad thing is, the same people need it every single Sunday. When will we turn loose? When will we, as Ephesians chapter number 4. Hey, Miss Carrie, go to Ephesians chapter number 4, the last verse. It's either verse 31 or 32. But when will we forgive as Christ has forgiven us? When will we look at our lives and who we really are and realize that Christ freely offers forgiveness to us? We don't have to pay it back. Go back. Is that the last verse? There we go. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you."
Amen.
Y'all better hear me right here. I'm going to take a minute, try to explain something to you. God didn't forgive you because you was worthy. God didn't forgive you because you made it up. Your little prayer you prayed and your little faith in Christ, is everybody all right? God didn't forgive you because you made up. You decided that you was going to come clean.
Amen.
You decided you was going to turn over a new leaf. God didn't forgive you. Listen, he didn't forgive you based on anything you done. He forgave you based on Christ's sake. You know why? Because you ain't perfect. You know why? Because in your best state, you still bad. In your best state, you still bad. And so the only one that he could forgive you for is through Christ. Because of his perfection. So before we hold grudges on somebody, let's remember who we are. We don't even, hey, listen here. We don't even merit forgiveness when it comes to God. Our forgiveness is based off of Christ's sake. God forgave you and I for Christ's sake. So tonight, who you holding a grudge on? Who you mad at? Why don't you get that thing right before we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the greatest act of forgiveness the world has ever seen. As God Himself hung between heaven and earth and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How awesome. But how ugly would it be if we participated with unforgiveness in our heart? He taught them. It was a time of intimacy. It was a time of instruction. He taught them about forgiveness. He taught them about humility. You remember we talked about this. He got up and he washed their feet. But here in Luke chapter number 22, you know what they did? As soon as they got finished partaking of the Lord's Supper, you know what they did? They started arguing who was the greatest. Does that not sound like us? They started arguing about who was the greatest. They were sitting with the greatest. I mean, I don't know why Jesus didn't just say, boys, I'm the greatest. Ali did it. He didn't have a problem doing it. But I just felt like this was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, hey, I'm the greatest. And in no uncertain words, he did say that to them. But he says to them, let me see if I can find the verse. Let me find it. He says in verse number 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. What lights are blinking? Which one? Turn them things off. I don't know what we got going on up here. It's driving me nuts, all right? All right. Can y'all do that? Thank you. All right. So it was a time. It was a time of instruction concerning forgiveness, concerning humility, and concerning service. He said this, but I am among you as he that serveth. He that serveth. Do you realize? Just turn the thing off. Leave the spotlight on. Turn the other off. Back up here. Yeah. Is these part of the other lights, house lights? Lord help. Y'all gonna have me cussing for the Lord's Supper, all right? Just help me out. That's not them. You can leave them on. And you ain't got to turn them off. All right. But anyhow, let's go on, all right? A lesson or a time of instruction, forgiveness, humility, and service. I wrote down this application question. I thought it was good. It says this. It says, could you convince others you're saved without words? Oh, I need somebody to help me. I got convicted writing it in my while I was sitting at my desk. Could you convince somebody else that you're saved without words? We live in a world where everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody, right? I mean, come on, y'all help me. I mean, if you look at the polls and all or the little things that they do and everything else, it says that 90-something percent of Americans are Christians. I say like my preacher says, hogwash. But we live in a day and time where everybody professes it. But I ask you, could you prove it without words? In other words, the person that you're unwilling to forgive, what would they say about you? The person that you look down your nose at, what would they say about you? The person that you think is not good enough for you to serve, What would they say about it? Remember, on his last night, his last hours before the cross, the Bible says in John chapter number 13 that he got up and he washed the feet of the disciples. So the question tonight is, could you convince others that you're saved without words? A time of intimacy, a time of instruction. Number three, a time of inspection. We went over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and it says that we're to examine ourselves. But as we come back to this, it said that this is what I find interesting about this. Jesus tells them that the hand of my betrayer is at the table with me. Right? And if you go over to John chapter number 13, what do the disciples begin doing? Is it me, Lord? Is it me? Oh, man, I find this interesting. Matter of fact, this whole thing plays out. They go around the table, all of them are going, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Even Judas gets in on it. Amen. Judas Iscariot, the one that is going to betray him, asks the question, is it I? And Jesus literally said, thou sayest. I'm going to tell y'all something. I pick on y'all all the time for not listening, you know, and not getting my sermons and all that other stuff. But when I read the Bible, I find out that nobody listened to Jesus either. He told them over and over again who he was. And they're sitting there with, you know, they're sitting there with Judas, and they're like, who is it? Who is it? And Judas says, is it I? And Jesus says, thou sayest. And then Jesus said, the one that I dip this into the sop and give to, he's the one. And Jesus said, here you go, Judas. And nobody got it. Jesus said to Judas, as soon as it happened, Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. And he jumped up and he left the table, and the scripture literally says all of them thought that he gave Judas special instructions. He literally just showed them who it was. Unbelievable. But here's what I got out of that, and I hope you see it the way I do. All of them asked Jesus, Is it me? Which should let us all know. Even Judas, who would betray him, said, is it I? And it should, if nothing else, that ought to throw up a red flag for us that at any moment we could become the betrayer. Judas sat at that table. As far as he was concerned, he wasn't going to betray Christ. Is it me? Yeah, sure is. Do y'all get that? Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. In other words, I don't care how. Everybody stay with me right here. What did Simon Peter say? After Judas left, Jesus said, you will all be offended by me tonight. And Simon Peter said, not me. Though all are offended, and though all leave you, I'll not leave you, Jesus. And I believe Simon Peter. I believe at that moment he was convinced that he'd go to his death that night with Jesus. And yet the soldiers come, he cut off an ear. Which, by the way, it meant for a head. But when that rooster crowed that next morning, he had denied Christ three times. A time of inspection. We see the revelation, but we see the realization. Any one of us could be Judas. Jake just sent me a song. And it was about Judas. And in the song, Jake, help me out. It says, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, but he said, was 30 pieces worth it, I would have traded him out for less. Now think about that. We're all capable of it. So will you examine yourself tonight? Number four, we're done. A time of introduction. So Jesus told them, it was a time of introduction. Jesus told them of a New Testament. He said this in verse number 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I preached on a little bit of this past Sunday, but this New Testament was Jesus. It could only be instituted by God, which proved that Jesus was who he said he was. He was God. But this New Testament, remember, was something in man's heart. It was not written on stone. And so it was a time of introduction to a New Testament, a time of introduction to a new ordinance. They were to do this as oft as they do it. They were to remember Christ. They were to remember his sufferings. And then it was a new commandment. In John chapter number 13, Jesus said to them, I give you a new commandment, that ye love one another. That ye love one another. So it was a time of introduction. He introduced a New Testament in his blood before he suffered. He introduced a new ordinance that was to be done in the churches. But he introduced a new covenant, which is that we were to love one another. Matter of fact, he said it like this, thereby will the world know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So tonight, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to get your hearts and minds right. If you need to be saved, I want you to do it tonight. If you need to get right with somebody in this building, I want you to do it tonight. If you need to get right with God, do it tonight. Don't worry about that stupid light. Amen. Get your focus off of that light. I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. Don't be distracted by something. Ain't nothing we can do about it. If there was, I'd do it. Get our focus on Christ tonight. Because this is what he said. When you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember how I hung on that cross. I was that bridge between heaven and earth. The only bridge whereby you can be saved. Jesus said it like this, I am the way, the truth, no life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Understand this, the wrath of God was poured out on his only Son. The Lamb of God, the Word of God, God himself hung on that cross. It was his blood, divine blood, precious blood, pure blood that was shed on that cross. It was his blood that satisfied the wrath of God. It was his blood that brings forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It was his blood. According to Scripture, we know that it was his sake that God forgave us. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32. So tonight, Brother Matt, if you will, you can just start that and let it play lightly, if you will. Heads bowed with me tonight. I wonder if you find a place at the altar, find a place at your seat, whatever you need to do tonight. Let's get this thing settled. Let's get it settled in our hearts and minds. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Esteem others higher than yourself. Realize that happiness comes through serving. When we serve one another, not when we rule over one another, not in our self-righteousness or our self-centeredness. Tonight, if there's one in this building, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, I need to settle this thing before that's you, I want you to just lift your hand up. You ain't got to keep it up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know right now how I can get us prepared for the Lord's Supper. Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Just lift your hand up. Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I need to be. Is there anybody like that anywhere in the building? Just lift your hand right up. Right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I always enjoy these services. It's almost as if it's a cleansing, a renewal. Some of us has strayed from you, but I'm thankful, Lord, that we have a way home. Bible says if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us. That means if I go to you and tell you, God, I did this. God, I have failed you here. I failed you here. And according to Scripture, you'll forgive us. Lord, I pray that everybody in this building has taken an opportunity to do that right now. Lord, I have prayed. I have confessed. But Lord, here in front of this whole church, God, if there's any sin that's unconfessed in any of us tonight, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over. God, as we partake of this, Lord, may we still be reminded of your sacrifice, your love for us. Lord, may we still be reminded of the price that had to be paid so that we could be called disciples. God, may we give thanks. Recognize your blessings on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.